listening to O'Donnell on Technology on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Here's the only doctor to ever succeed without surgical tools, without malpractice insurance, and he hardly ever washes his hands before he goes to work. How does he survive? He's Dr. Rom.
Yes, indeed, he is our Dr. Rom, keeping us entertained and informed every week. How are you, sir?
Oh, I always try to entertain and inform at the same time.
That's the whole gist of it here.
Absolutely.
How you doing?
Good, good. Nice sunny day down here in Southern California.
Ah, doing a little traveling.
We're making our holiday Christmas trip down to see Grandma.
I hate to tell you your timing's a little off, but...
Dr. Rom's always a little slow. We couldn't come down at the official time, so we're making it up now, and it's her birthday, so...
Well, there you go. Then that's as good as anything. So.
Two birds with one stone.
Right on.
Or one trip. So this week I wanted to talk about two products.
All right.
And the first product is one of those little LCD displays that you put on a wall, you can hang on a wall or prop up on a table like a regular picture display, but it holds images from your digital camera.
All right.
Have you got one of these things, Bob?
You know what? I played with one a long time ago, but I haven't gotten any of the more current ones. The old ones were frankly not that great, but the new ones, you know, I understand are pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're improving all the time with new features. And the one I got came out in September, so it's pretty much on the new side, but I think it's still got a ways to go before it be a perfect product. I've been intrigued with these things for a while, partly because I have a mother down here that I'm visiting now who loves pictures from her son and grandchildren, yet has no technical ability to take file images and put them in a frame like this. So I was hoping, you know, that someday somebody would come up with a display like this that she could, you know, simply plug in the wall, put on a, you know, a little counter, and then I could provide her with pictures to load into the frame, and then she could see, you know, a whole bunch of pictures that she, you know, would enjoy. And so I got this frame from Westinghouse Digital, the old Westinghouse
yep.
brand name. And they've got a whole line of different electronic appliances and products now that are pretty first class. And this one's very beautiful. It's about 5.5 inches across. That's the screen size. It has a very bright display, and it has about a 1-inch border that goes around the LCD display, and it's interchangeable. You can apply
the frame, essentially.
Aluminum border or a mahogany border or a very jet shiny black border. Looks very elegant and nice, either sitting on a countertop or hanging on the wall. And like I said, it plugs into a regular AC outlet. The way you load images into it is via a direct USB connection to a laptop or a desktop computer, or via a memory card, and it'll take nearly any memory card, SD, MMC, compact flash, even the new XD format. And you simply slide the card in and then push a menu button on the top of the display, and it moves images from your memory card into the internal display of this device. And unfortunately, the internal display is only 8 megabytes. So you're looking...
The internal memory, you mean?
The internal memory, that's right. Yeah, only 8 megabytes. So you're pretty limited as to the number of pictures you can put in there. And, of course, you're encouraged to put in low-resolution JPEGs so
right.
you can put more pictures in there.
Is it smart enough to take a, you know, 4-megapixel picture, which, like, everybody has, and reduce it down automatically?
Nope, uh-huh. You have to do that for it.
It won't
do any conversion of the images. And I got to say, I'm not clear why they didn't build the product so that it would read images directly off a memory card.
Yeah.
So you could simply plug in a 256 megabyte or even a gigabyte, you know,
card
into it and then have plenty of room for all sorts of high-resolution images. The native display of the LCD is only 320 by 234, so mm-hmm. you want to keep that in mind when you shrink down your pictures. The viewing angle is only 45 degrees, unfortunately, so it's not like an LCD, high-end LCD television that can really be viewed from...
From any angle.
Yeah, right, from a close-up. one other aspect. While it looks good, as I said, the image is very bright. The when you put it in slideshow mode, so that the pictures blend from one to the next, it's not a smooth kind of high resolution dissolve from one to the next. You get kind of a checkerboard sort of effect that I think is a little bothersome.
Mm.
It just doesn't strike you as being like a television. It looks like a enlarged camera display rather than a nice television. Having said all that, though, it's a wonderful thing to put on your wall. It's very attractive, as I said, with the different frames you can put on, and it's very eye-catching as these pictures come up. I found that it was really fun to have it on pretty bright, or adjust the display's pretty bright initially, but after it'd been up there for a few days in our kitchen, I really turned it down so that it wasn't quite as eye-catching and didn't intrude quite as much. And then it was really nice. It was something people always remarked on, and we changed the pictures every once in a while, so it was kind of an always entertaining thing, even for the
family. Right. Now, is it smart enough, for example, to be able to rotate pictures, or, again, do you have to do all the hard work ahead of time?
Yeah, you can rotate it. Once the picture is in there, then you can individually manage each of the pictures however you can, you know, change the brightness individually or, you know, mess with the color. But you can specify that the specific images have to be rotated 90 degrees.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least so you can do that.
Right. So all in all, I think I said it's about a $150 product. There's alternatives out there that go for more money, that can do more things, including now the ability to work as a Wi-Fi receiver and actually pluck pictures from a file on another device over a Wi-Fi connection, which might be real useful, particularly if you want to load those pictures on somebody else's screen display for grandma, perhaps.
Exactly.
However, you do have to arrange a Wi-Fi connection for her.
Yeah, and that's the challenge with a lot of these is for folks, you know, the folks who would most appreciate it, like a like a grandparent or what, they're not typically going to have the kind of, you know, connectivity that you need in order to be able to
right.
get new updates to these pictures.
Well, you gotta hope the grandmother lives next to somebody whose Wi-Fi connection umbrella extends over her house.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the I think the ultimate direction this is all going to actually be able to address these frames, as well as have them be larger in size, use less power so they run off battery. That's where we'll be in a few years. But right now, plug-in ones that are a little clumsy to load are the state-of-the-art, and they're fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, and how much did you tell us how much it was?
$150, which is a pretty aggressive price.
Yeah.
One-time fee. You don't pay any subscription or anything like that. It's just $150 out the door.
All right. So, bottom line, is it worth the $150?
In my case, I'd have to say no. But I think with a little more convenience, for instance, if I could give it to my mother and then send her a card or send her maybe a little thumb drive that she could plug into it, and it would read off the card or thumb drive and have 60 new pictures, that would be great.
Gotcha.
I'd buy one of those in a minute.
Right.
Or if my mother had email and a Wi-Fi connection, that would be better. Anyway, the second product I wanted to talk about, I'll cover real quick, is a book from No Starch Press. It goes for about $27 online, and it's called Wicked Cool Pearl Scripts. And this is a book written by a guy named Steve Wallin, who is a terrific Perl programmer and has been spending years writing Perl scripts. And those listeners out there that don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain real quick. Perl is the language that is very common or very popularly used for writing the scripts that drive web pages. So if you have your own website, either hosted yourself or maybe hosted by an ISP, you normally have access to the Perl code library that can then run these scripts. And these scripts can be used for all sorts of different things. They're embedded in HTML pages so that you can trigger different activities to happen when people click on different buttons on the web pages, and they work in the background to manage files or manipulate text within your website, maybe to have a lookup or a local search button that would bring up particular pages and manipulate those pages. Or these scripts can go out to the web, again, based on people's interaction with your web pages. These scripts can be taught to go out to the web, grab information, stock quotes, images, all sorts of different things, and then bring them down to your web page and display them. And Perl is a language that's fairly new. It was developed as a utility language, very strong in the ability to manipulate text. It's not so good on numbers, and it's fairly cryptic. There's a lot of powerful commands within Perl that are called just with little symbols like exclamation point or a slash and that sort of thing. So it's kind of hard to read. However, it's very easy to do very powerful stuff with just a couple lines of code. So this guy wrote a book that goes, it's about 300 pages.
Wow.
It covers lots and lots of different Perl scripts, and he divides them into categories, CGI programming, internet data mining, picture utilities, games, development tools, that sort of thing. And he presents in each of these categories half a dozen scripts, and he goes through each script in very much detail and explains why the script is structured the way it is, how it works, what sort of gotchas or what sort of problems can arise if it doesn't work after you've kind of adapted the script for your own use. If it doesn't work, he explains, what problems might arise. And he's a good teacher that way.
Good. Well, that's great. So so for people who do want to add these additional interactive capabilities to the websites and they're willing to muscle through it and get over that initial hump, which, of course, there always is in learning these kinds of scripting languages and what have you. It sounds like it's a good resource.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there for the Perl programming language and better ones if you're a brand new person to it. But if you're looking for some instruction, kind of mid-range and advanced instruction from a person who really knows Perl, this is a good book.
This is the one, then. All right, good stuff. Well, folks, if you want to find out more about these items that Dr. Rons has been talking about, both the Westinghouse Digital Photo Frame and the Wicked Cool Perl Scripts books, we've got links. All you have to do is go to everythingtechnology.com. It's the only website you need to remember. Everythingtechnology.com. You'll find links for all this stuff right there on the homepage. Well, thank you, sir. Enjoy your trip down to L.A., and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, you take care. That is Dr. Rom. All right.